Welcome back to Life Matters. Okay, so one of the things that you just mentioned off the air is, you know, you were a police officer mm-hmm. and you were in the military. So right. when you went into both of those organizations or the organizations that you worked for, it was just kind of cut and dry. You filled all this paperwork out. Yep. It was all handled.
You filled it out. And
then you said,
I didn't have to worry about it anymore. I have an Amy. Amy has always been on top of our wills, stuff like that. Every time we go on a long ride, it is updated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it really, I mean, we haven't had to change anything, but it's always checked and, you know, updated.
But you can't always count on your spouse to make sure that these things are taken care of. Can you, Tom? I mean, don't you have to do these things for yourself?
You need to know what's going on because, right. you know, sometimes a spouse will say that the spouse knows how to do something but doesn't really know how to do something. Maybe just knows how to do things better than Tom.
Well, in my defense, yes, you're right. You had to bring that up. Thanks. I appreciate it. But Amy does know what she's doing.
She does know.
Full faith in her. Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm very fortunate. And I know that. But I agree. You got to know what's going on. And make sure you're protected as well as your spouse and your family.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you, here's an example that just came up a couple weeks ago. There was a client who died, and he had a 401k. And actually, it was through the state university, It was the teacher's retirement system in Illinois.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so he was a teacher. He, 10 years ago, he got divorced. He moved to another state. He married a new woman and had two children. Except he never changed the beneficiary designation on his retirement program. And under the law, that designation still stood. So his ex-wife is the person that would stand to benefit the ex-wife is who would stand to benefit if she was named, or even if he had named, I think there was a dispute over whether there was a document naming a niece. So the ex-wife or the niece could take before his wife at the time of his death and his two minor children.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, but see,
I couldn't imagine.
I wouldn't
take
it.
That poor woman. Ooh.
I mean, if the theory was that, okay, well, you're the beneficiary, you're taking this money, I would take it and then get a cashier's check and send it, you know, and give it to the current wife. Like, I could never take that money.
But that's Nancy Douglas. Not everybody's going to do that. Most people are going to go, hey, thanks.
Right, but
I'll keep it.
You got to live with yourself. Like, you're depriving.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but I kind of in the same boat, Thomas. I've seen the horrific side of people.
People,
and I can see that happening.
People can justify a lot of things.
Oh, absolutely.
I put up with this guy for 10 years.
Yeah,
this is combat pay.
Yeah. I mean, don't think that has gone through my
guilt.
Head.
He left it to me.
Right.
Obviously, that's what he wanted.
No, I would not. Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't either.
I couldn't take that money.
It doesn't matter what you or I would do. It's about what everybody else would do. And great example, you leave a marriage and you have a new one, you better set up your new spouse to succeed and not give everything to the one that you left.
Right.
So what person, if you asked on the street, would say that, the ex-wife could take over my current family based on a form I filled out?
Nobody.
Right.
Yeah, I no.
So but that's
most
the law.
People but most so that's why it. Most people would not say, oh, I got to go and change that form.
Right.
Because that can't be true. Except
but
it is true.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, why would you think that? It's a contract. You signed it.
A lot of people think that, well, this is my new wife. My wife gets everything. But if you already have a will that says it goes to, you know, the ex-wife by name, the new wife gets nothing.
Right.
That's a big fight.
Black and white, in writing, with your signature on it, that's it. That's what...
Now,
right? That's what they look at.
Sometimes the law will trump the language and what's signed. But I'm just saying in that specific instance, and I don't know how it's going to work out within the family, but in that specific instance, the designated beneficiary is who takes.
Right. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Just because that happened doesn't mean the ex-wife is going to get everything. But the current wife has one big legal fight to try and get those inheritances.
Yes.
But she can fight for it, and there's a chance that she would get it?
She can fight, but at least with respect to that designation, you know, in the particular universe I looked at, she's likely to lose.
And it might cost her more to fight it
than
she would get.
Right.
Bottom line is take care of your family. And keep your...
Don't let it happen in the first place.
Yeah, keep your paperwork up to date.
Wow. And these are all things that, yes, people talk about at the holidays. It's not just health. It's relationships. It's, you know, how are the kids doing? I mean, what else can you think of that comes up at some of these gatherings that people should maybe stop and think twice about?
Well, all sorts of things come up, really. I mean, think of, like, somebody has a teenage child and the uncle and aunt say, boy, he doesn't look like he's all there, or he's on drugs, or what problems has he been having? It looks like he had, or friends stop by and the family all looks at the friends and thinks, boy, these teenagers are hanging out with the wrong people.
Right.
Some of these things aren't really legal issues. They're just things that come up.
Right.
And the family has concerns. And then the question is, how do you deal with those concerns?
Yeah, like how do you get off on the right foot with that conversation?
That's why Thanksgiving only comes once a year. Because sometimes there's no right foot to get off on.
Right, right. You can't, I mean...
Head over to the football game.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's just go up back.
Right. I mean, it's you know, and then you add, you know, people drink and they have their wine and they have their cocktails or their beer while they're watching the football and everything. And then by, you know, 7 o'clock at night, woo. Yeah, it's a free-for-all.
So I got a question for you. You have that parent or that elderly family member that isn't very proactive in wills and stuff like that. And maybe their health is getting worse, and there is a concern that they may wind up in a nursing home or in some kind of care facility that they're not leaving. But they have nothing established to protect any of their investments throughout their life, whatever. What is there anything that can be done about that?
Yeah, but the key is the timing to it.
Okay.
Because there are look-back provisions. So, for example, if somebody has all their assets in their name, and then they go to try to become a resident at a nursing home or a long-term residential facility, the first question is, what assets do you have?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And before you get any governmental-type assistance, they go through your personal assets. So that's another thing that often the children are shocked by.
Right.
Right? They say, well, Mom, Dad, it's time for them to go in, and you mean to tell me that they worked all their life to accumulate this money, and now it's going to be all spent on their care? That's not what they wanted to do.
Right.
Right? And then you have the family members think of other people. Seems like all us go to this. They think of other people, and they say, you know, so-and-so's parents, all they did was they went to the boats. They didn't spend, they spent all their money, etc. And Mom and Dad watched every nickel. They saved this money all this time. They didn't travel that much. They weren't extravagant. They tried to save. They wanted to have our generation have some of that money.
Right.
And now it's going to go to the nursing home, but the people that spent all the money are going to get
nothing.
It for free?
Right, right.
But that's what happened. So the look back is 5 years. So when you talk about planning, if the assets are transferred away from the parents... So in an irrevocable trust, it can still be used for the parents, but it has to be outside their control.
Okay.
Then they don't count. But what can't happen is the parents can't say, oh, I'm going into a nursing home in 6 months, and now I'm going to give everything to all my children. Mm-hmm. I'm going to walk in and say, I have no assets. That doesn't work, because that's what people tried to do.
Sure, of course.
Why they made it 5-year look back.
Okay.
Right, and then the assets are liquidated to pay for them to be in the nursing home or wherever.
Yes.
And once that's burned up, then they can go on state or government assistance.
That's
but
right.
But that's going to be burned up first. And there's no protecting it at that point, correct?
There's no protecting it once it's, you know, once you have it, you have to attest it's what you have.
Right.
And so... That's the issue. I mean, the planning for this is important, and this kind of planning happens 5% of the time.
Really? So it would be a really good idea to have that hard conversation.
And it's a really hard conversation.
Yeah.
Because the parents don't want to give up control.
Right.
And
well, and if you don't trust your kids or your siblings or whatever, how do you?
Well,
you know?
That's true where there's a lack of trust, I agree. But I think the bigger question isn't lack of trust. I think it's independence.
Yeah, I agree. I ran my life all this time by myself and nobody else is running it for me.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I put together these assets and now you want somebody else to control these assets?
Right.
Right.
I don't think so.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. Yeah.
Does that make a difference, like if you put everything in an estate? Is that
if you put it in an irrevocable trust, a non-changeable trust,
okay.
Then it's not viewed as your assets.
Oh, okay.
So that's the key way to do that planning. But, you know, it's not an all or nothing necessarily. The parents could say, okay, I'm going to transfer all this money I don't need or these assets I don't need mm-hmm. or a house that I want to stay in the family anyway to the trust. I'm going to keep some of this out.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand I'm going to lose some of this. I'll have to use some of this for my care. But that's okay with me. I'm going to protect the other amounts.
Gotcha.
So what you see happen in this respect, you know, people that have money do this kind of planning. Mm-hmm. And people that are more middle class, upper middle class, et cetera, not tremendously wealthy, don't do this planning.
Right.
Regardless, you got to do it 5 years or more out.
Yeah, you do. I mean, there's some things you may be able to do beyond that. There's some exemptions and things like that. But that's the kind of planning you need to do.
And do it right.
If somebody is close to making this decision, it would make sense to really look at their particular circumstance, especially when you have two spouses alive and one is heading to the nursing home and another.
Right.
There's things you can do.
Okay. Thanks.
One other thing, I recently talked to my mother-in-law about this. They went to the funeral of a cousin in Iowa. This cousin was either a widow or was never married, I'm not sure. No children. And apparently this person was put in a nursing home. The home was sold. All the assets are gone. The person died. And like my in-laws didn't even know any of the, it all happened within like 6 months. And they weren't even aware that any of this was happening. And this person did this all on their own or was told, like, it's just all gone. Everything is gone. And they have, and nobody was watching. Those are the kind of people that we need to make sure that we're taking care of, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because now Ty's mom and dad feel terrible that, like, they don't know what happened, you know?
Right.
And nobody does. Whatever decisions were made, they don't know if the right decisions were made because nobody was communicating. But you have to also watch those relatives that are off by themselves, don't have kids or widows, or because they actually are the most vulnerable to any kind of problem.
Yeah, and people prey on them.
Mm-hmm.
Contractors can prey on them,
right.
You know, with the painting the house or
right.
putting the
roof.
Classic was the siding.
Right,
mm-hmm.
right.
Go to the old lady and say, you need siding on your house, sign this contract,
mm-hmm.
et cetera.
Pay me half, I'll never come back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yes.
Right.
But on those decisions with nursing homes or residential facilities, you know, the question sometimes is, are the parents in a position to make the right decision?
Exactly.
And
I don't know.
They were shocked.
At how quickly all of that developed.
I mean, that's just a horrible time because, like you were talking about independence, I don't need to check with my kids. I'll make my own decision.
Right.
But at the same time, they're not thinking clearly or someone's really pulling one on them and
yep.
they get taken advantage of.
It's as simple for some people as they're lonely and the person that is selling them whatever it is was nice to them.
Yeah,
sure.
They're friendly.
Sure.
They talked to me for so long.
There's just never a better time than to be very observant during the holiday season with these, again, these relatives that you don't see all the time.
Right.
And then when you see some kind of issue, make sure that you talk to that person or somebody that can help them make sure that they're protected. I mean, that's the bottom line, is see something, yeah. say something, do something. This is no different from any other see something, say something situation.
Right.
Yeah.
You're right.
And you're right, communication. Talk to your, mm-hmm. you know, if you're dealing with your parents, talk to your siblings about it, make a decision mm-hmm. and or a plan and move forward. Mm-hmm. But get everybody involved. It makes it easier.
Well, it does, but sometimes that's not true.
Well, no.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah, you got to know.
Somebody still has to be in charge, right? That
normally
one
that's
person.
True.
Yeah. Any other tips that you can think of, Tom?
No, I think it's a very it's a kind of an important time of year to look at things and consider what can be done.
Yeah. There's all kinds of protection out there, legal protection, financially and in all kinds of other ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely definitely talk to a professional about what you can and cannot do. Just a good time of the year. But thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Did you have a great Thanksgiving, I take it?
Yes, Thanksgiving is outstanding. I'm lucky enough to have both parents host Thanksgiving still.
Ooh, geez. So you're still full?
Yes.
Yes.
And you don't have the mess. You can just slide out.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Well, we thank you for so much for being here. We love your segment with Mike Mason every day, a little after 5 o'clock. Take a listen to that if you haven't heard it. Mike and Tom talk about a lot of different subjects, give you some advice there too. A little after 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday. It's called Real Life Law with Tom Gardner. Tom, thanks so much again for joining us.
Thank you.
And we'll be back to wrap up the show right after this on Lake 96.1.